Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the GAR. The National League is back. Niall is here with me to talk about it. And Niall, I love the National League. I do. I just think, like, big games every single weekend. There's always something to look forward to, always something to talk about. League of Sunday's back on a Sunday as well. It puts me in good form.
It's all good, Lee. I'm like, we've had a lot of people kind of, you know, some people say that the split season isn't ideal and there's problems with the split season. But I think the best thing about it all is, like, we had a brilliant club season. Mm-hmm. It's only just after finishing. And now we're straight into National League. Loads of games every weekend now coming up. The hurling will be back next week, so it's going to be even better. And, you know, we probably don't have a free weekend in the year without brilliant club action. You don't have to care. I think it's the best thing. You don't have to even look at them pre-season competitions, which is brilliant. So it's all good.
That's it. And just on the club season, or the split season, sorry, I think because you're starved of inter-county football for so long, when it does come back, you're really, you know, you're ready for it. Like, I was really ready for this weekend, and then seeing, like, on Saturday night, I just really enjoyed my Saturday night. Like, I was working, but, you know, sitting in to be able to watch Derry v Kerry and Tralee, Monaghan v Dublin and Croke Park, like, that's my ideal Saturday. I know I'm old, but
yeah, like, it's so long since we've seen a lot of the boys in action. Like, you know, we've probably seen all the club games and that's all been brilliant, and then to see the county teams back, it's been so long, from probably 6 months since they've all played. So it's great to get it all back.
Yeah, and like I say, they kicked things off. Derry v Kerry, Mickey Hart's first game in the National League in charge of Derry. And controversy before a ball was even kicked. He named the three Glen players, named Kieran McFaul, Ethan Doherty and Conor Glass, who 6 days prior, previous, had won the club All-Ireland. So within 6 days, they'd not only made the journey to Tralee, and they weren't only playing in the match, but they started, and I think they played, all of them played all 70 minutes, yeah. So I'm almost certain. So, like, that's a big call to make. By Hart, he says it was the players who made the decision. Kieran McFaul said as much afterwards, yeah. But
what else are you going to say?
Yeah, well, you talk me. What are your thoughts now?
Well, you mentioned that there was a lot of controversy down in Tralee about it, and sure, there was a lot of controversy on Twitter as well, because I put out a harmless enough tweet, as you do, like, you're expected to be, you know, fairly kind of tame. Maybe you might get 30 likes, you'd be happy enough, like,
yeah,
you know,
that little endorphin hit.
This one, yeah, keep you going for a while. This one ended up going mad on Twitter. There was like 600 likes, but it's never the likes that you look at, like, it's the replies, like, and there was about 50 replies, like, so I kind of knew what it was like to walk in Wooly's shoes. Like, you know the way his tweets, there's always big, like, there's lads giving out and calling him out. I found out what that life was all about on Saturday night, and I have to say it was fairly enjoyable.
Yeah, it is. Now, you tweeted saying we were against Mickey Hart's decision.
Yeah,
what
I
was
think
along
I had
the
no
lines?
Time for Mickey Hart. Oof. Playing the boys six days after winning the All-Ireland club. And I suppose I kind of had it in my head coming up to the game, because I was listening to an interview with him after they won the McKenna Cup, And he was, he this was the day or 2 days before the All-Ireland Club Final. I think it was the day before. And Mickey Hart was like, he was asked about the strength of the panel. And he said, you know, we'll have the Glen boys back as soon as they get their thing over and as soon as they get their thing taken care of. And like, it might have been just a slip of tongue, but like, that isn't like, you know, it's an All-Ireland Club Championship that thing, these boys have, you know, they were beaten at the last hurdle last year. It's probably the biggest thing in a lot of their lives and their thing. Like, so I kind of saw coming that he was going to start these Glen boys. So I was ready for him. And, but the replies were hilarious. Like on my tweets, like, someone said, all the Derry lads played and won the McKenna Cup recently. What's the difference? So what's the difference between winning the McKenna Cup and All-Ireland Club? Like, I replied with laughy face because I actually didn't know what else to say. I think he was joking.
I don't think he was.
I hope he was. Another lad said, you stick to hurling.
That's fair. I've always said that.
Which is, which is fair enough. Next week I will be. The hurling will be back.
That's fair.
Then, perhaps the three lads wanted to represent their county for their first Division 1 game in 10 years. That's fair enough, like.
Yeah.
But what I would say to that is they will represent them next week as well, like.
Playing. What was the rush sort of thing?
So, and I suppose Mickey won't sleep tonight knowing that was another one. That was a good one.
And he hasn't either.
Yeah. If only Mickey Hart had the managerial experience of yourself and all the other armchair critics out there, which is another good one. But I just thought that, look, it's going to be a long season. Eitan Doherty, Conor Glass in particular. You probably wouldn't mind McFaul seeing as he missed last year. Mm-hmm. Eitan Doherty and Conor Glass have had two full years back to back, no break. Because last year they played the first round against Limerick after losing the All-Ireland Club. And you can kind of take that because we're after losing and they wanted to flush it out of the system. Do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But you just wondered, like, first of all, they're lucky. It's a good job for Mickey Hart anyway that nobody got injured because you could easily have them been celebrating. Mm-hmm. You'd be more likely to pick up an injury. And you just think as well, like, it's a long year. Like, yeah. I know people say that he wants to target the league and win at the very, you know, and get off to a great start. But, like, just say come June, like, they'll have played a lot of football by then. Like, will they still be loving it? Like, that's when you want them to be peaking and loving it. And maybe they will, but I would have said that a break would have been nice, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like I say, that's just me. I would have been of the opinion that you take the decision out of their hands, because I have no doubt that, like, some of them boys would have just stuck their hand up and said, you know, I'm not doing anything that weekend anyway. You know, I'll play a game down against Kerry. But maybe it should have just been taken out of their hands and be like, no, take a week off, you know, celebrate with Glenn, get yourself right, and then come back the following week.
Well, when it's left in their hands, like, we'd be glad to have you.
Yeah.
Like, if they, it's almost as if it's a test, like.
Yeah, yeah, it probably was a feeling of that. Like, and listen, I'm sure that, like, them three boys built different than me. You know, they probably are busting to get back in the Derry jersey. They're probably excited about the concept of, you know, Mickey Hart taking over and everything that comes with that. They didn't get to work with him in pre-season and things, so there's maybe an eagerness there, I'm sure. And just the prospect of playing against Kerry and Tralee, you know, All-Ireland finalists last year, and sort of trying to rectify that loss in the semi-final last year. Obviously, a lot of benefits come from it as well, but I'm not too sure. I think a lot of it maybe came down to Mickey Hart. He needs to win all the Derry fans over, you know, obviously because of his allegiance to Tyrone and things. You know, it won't take long if things were going wrong. A couple of losses here and there, you know, for people maybe to start turning, to start comparing him to previous Derry managers. And I'll have a tweet waiting, Agent Hart. It's already in my drafts. I'm going to put it out the second things go wrong.
But, like, even if they win the league, say, it's not going to be like, oh, Mickey Hart is the saviour. Like, like, Mayo won the league last year and they still had a bad year last year.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, I think it's a different... Winning the league, it's nearly how you interpret it for different teams. Like, it was important for Kerry to win the league under Jack O'Connor in his first year back. I think it was just sort of a statement of intent, but then it didn't matter at all the following year, you know, and they could take the league a little bit easier. And they still made the All-Ireland final. I know they didn't win it in the end, but it is up in the air a little bit in that sense. And he did get away with it, Mickey Hart, in the sense that Derry won The Glen boys did all right. Kieran McFaul, I thought in particular, was very fresh looking. Yeah. But Ethan Doherty and Conor Glass, there was definitely signs of fatigue because it's a lot to ask of them in the end. I think I was just a bit disappointed too because I thought a whole... What was Derry missing last year, right? Probably a little bit of depth in the squad. So surely one of the top priorities this season was unearthing like new talent and giving opportunities. Like I really thought that Lachlan Murray was going to come into this team a lot sooner because he's not an under 20 this year. You know, in the previous years he'd been coming off the bench, but he was still playing for the underage county teams. This year he's like a fully fledged senior player. So I thought, you know, and he's a high scoring forward, something that they, you know, probably too reliant on Shane McGuigan. So I thought he was maybe going to get more of an opportunity, but he was on the bench. Cormac Murphy was doing really well in the McKenna Cup and he was on the bench as
he
well.
He won that free, did he, at the end?
Yeah, he came on and he did brilliantly. I just thought that was a good opportunity. You've seen other teams try a lot of young players and stuff and to good success. So I don't know, I just thought, what sort of statement does it make? I mean, the Derry fans are happy. They got the win. You got a lot of grief, so I'm happy.
Yeah.
And
a lot of traction as well.
And you know what? It set me up probably.
I'm going to take it. Like.
Yeah, because then I'd written an article, like a match report afterwards, and it sort of said, Mickey Hart's Glen gamble pays off, but just about, referring to the fact that they won by a point and, you know, Kerry missed some goal chances in the end.
Yeah.
There's no denying that. And I got loads of comments and an email and stuff about just about Derry, you know, they dominated that match and stuff. And you can't help but think, like, you can't mathematically win a game by any less than a point. Like, so it is just about. You know, I don't know.
The Derry boys are coming for
that's it. And
what do we do?
I've been the biggest defender of Mickey Hart and Derry for a long time, but that'll end next week when Tyrone play them. And they're definitely going to come out for me then. But we'll talk about the match itself, actually. Kerry were missing the Cliffords. decided to give them a break, even though Fossa obviously went out of the club championship a little bit earlier than the previous 2 years.
Mm. And it was same with Bridget's or the Roscommon. They only played Robbie Dolan in their match, out with the Bridget's boys. So Kerry missing the Cliffords and they gave a few new lads chances. Probably a difficult enough game and difficult conditions to kind of make a real breakthrough. But I suppose the game really kicked off in the second half when Kerry were chasing it, you know.
Yeah.
And they had to come hard for it. And they did, in fairness. And they put Derry under a lot of pressure. And I suppose that was what they were saying on RT after, was that even though... Like Sean Kavanagh was even a little bit harsh. He was like, "This is Derry at their best." Like,
that's too harsh.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
Maybe he just meant that they had their full strength. Like,
in terms of the names on the sheet, probably.
But and they was kind of making out that even though Derry won, that like Kerry would be happier. Do you know? Because I know they did miss the goal chances, and Derry would probably be disappointed with the. You know, a chance that they conceded, like, because they wouldn't be used to that. So maybe that's a bit of a small concern for them. Like, but
Kavanagh was off the beat there a bit. Like,
do you think? Yeah.
Well, why would Derry be the same team now that they would be in the summer?
Yeah,
I know personnel probably won't be hugely different, but like every team improves. Of course they do.
Yeah, he kind of said this is as good as Derry are going to be. Like.
And he kept referring to them as like this will be championship pitch.
Yeah.
And things, and I'm like, well, it just can't be because the weather alone, the time of the day that they're playing the match, just everything doesn't.
It's a compliment to the Derry fans that have been in our inboxes, like that we're talking about them like this. This is their first Division One game down in Tralee, and they're beating Kerry, and they're still like,
oh, yeah, like question marks and things like that. Yeah. No, I just think that because their ceiling is so high, genuinely, I really do think, like, I think Derry are the favourites for the league, and I think they'll give the championship a real whack, and I thought they were excellent, especially in the first half. Like, Kerry looked out of place, and Shane McGuigan in particular, seems to have taken on even more responsibility this year. No, last year really cemented himself as one of the top forwards in the country. We all knew he had that sort of potential, but he's earmarked now as that, like, and he's showing it even this early in the season.
Absolutely, yeah. He's class, like, he's one of the best that there is at the minute. Like, the way he plays with such confidence, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, you know, like, he knows what he's doing. He's so good at turn lads. Even the way he was winning frees there, he was kind of...
Clever, is that
the word? He was clever, like, is what you'd say. And he's so good to take his scores. Yeah, he's exceptional at the minute, like, and continuing his form into this year from last year, which is great for Derry, definitely.
Yeah, he's just so clinical. When Kerry finally did get a hold of the game again, it was because they pressed so high up the pitch and they wanted to stop Derry at the source, you know, because Derry like to attack as early as they can and get the ball up the pitch as quickly as they can. And their tackling was just tenacious. And then what that does as well, it really gets the crowd on side. So like the crowd in Tralee were, you know, you could hear like the sort of eruption of the cheer, because nothing gets you geared up more than seeing your team genuinely trying, yeah, like busting a gut in Absolutely. Front of your eyes, you know. Mm. And I thought that was warming to see. Like, I mean, and that's going to be a feature of Kerry this year. Because forget about even the Clippers coming back. Like, if you're, you know, putting in that amount of effort and that tenacity so early on in the season, and that's, there's a skill in that as well, you know, like when to go and when to sit, and they were getting a lot of it right, and that's what clawed them back into the game, and it actually led to the goal chances. Like, Oren Lynch was off his line for one. There was a question mark whether Brendan Rodgers was pushed in the back or did Joe O'Connor get a hand in for that, yeah, that sort of goal. Like, 50-50, it was one of them where it's like, if he had a blue foul, I probably wouldn't have said much,
yeah,
but he
exactly.
didn't, and I'm probably not going to say too much mm. either. I don't think it was like, you know, I don't think VAR would have changed it if we're going to get into that. But that was probably the most impressive thing for me from Kerry's point of view, and why they should at least be somewhat happy with how things worked out.
Yeah. Well, they when they attacked Derry, like, and you could sense it in the even from watching on television, how, you know, it brought the whole crowd into the game and it made it such a better game. And even like the chances all came from Kerry pressing Derry and putting them under pressure in possession. And when they were under pressure in possession, they coughed up a few, and mm-hmm. that led to the goal chances. They obviously missed a few, but it's probably a bit of that is probably linked with Derry as well, in that, do you remember how Loud kind of played last year, and that they were under Mickey Hart, that they'd bomb up the field mm-hmm. and they nearly go, especially in the Leinster final, you could see it. Against Dublin, when they were just did go kamikaze nearly up the yeah. field and leave a lot of space behind, like some of their defenders, and it was kind of that sort of space in behind for Derry this time, yeah. which, you know, is maybe that's what they'd be slightly worried about, I'd say. But yeah, Kerry had their chances, and they probably should have taken them. The Stephen O'Brien one was probably the biggest chance. Do you know that?
Yeah,
that
he just held on to them for too long. You could tell he was trying to lure the goalkeeper out so he could fist it over for the handy sort of palm goal.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper stood his ground, and he just got closer and closer to trouble then. And then had to make his mind up. But at that stage, I still thought shooting was probably the best option. But he went for the pass and butchered it in a way. You could put yeah. that down to maybe lack of sharpness or whatever. Like, decision making is probably the one thing that gets better throughout the season, isn't it?
Yeah, you could put it down to Chrissy McCaig as well. He was very yeah. good that he stayed back.
Yeah.
He didn't commit to yeah. making, like, giving that option to Stephen O'Brien that, like, yeah. here you go, you have Sean O'Shea here. He didn't go to block him. And he made Stephen O'Brien kind of think about it then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was under a bit of pressure that way, and he kind of ran straight at the goalie then as well. He didn't really make an angle for it, for the finish. And McKay got the fist in, and himself and Sean O'Shea actually had yeah. a great battle, didn't they?
Yeah, they were at each other's throats the whole game. It's good to see him out, because, like, I think he said, it was maybe even 3 years ago, the time that Donegal beat them by a point, whatever year that was, 2021 maybe, and Donegal beat them by a point in the Ulster Championship. They hadn't won Ulster and stuff at this stage. And Chrissy admitted afterwards that he thought he was retired then. Do you know? So to see him still there and getting all the fruits of his efforts now and just at the latter stages of career is just so good to see, because he's one of the best defenders in Ulster. Like, definitely still Derry's best defender, man marker. And I thought him and O'Shea had a really, really good battle. It's interesting to see that, like, because teams are so used to preparing for Kerry, and it's all about what do you do for the Cliffords. So that actually, when you take the Cliffords out of it, it's like, well, what do we do with our markers? You know, like, who is the danger man? And you probably would say Sean O'Shea, or Sean O'Shea.
Yeah.
And it turned out that way. I thought it was an excellent battle. But listen, Derry did get over the line. You know, you can't get too negative about beating last year's All Ireland finalists away from home in your first game in Division 1, and it's Tyrone next at home. you know, and the whole obviously Mickey Hart factor with that, that'll be a game that they're going to be well up for, and we'll all be watching eagerly and some of us nervously. But
the big game, tweets maybe.
Yeah, no tweets. No, I'm going to delete my
account. Maybe. Why not?
Well, it depends what the result is.
Yeah.
But then straight after that, a thrilling game. You sort of have that thing, you know, where you go back to back games, and I'm maybe even thinking, am I even ready to watch another game again? Do you know?
Yeah, especially when it's football. Like.
Exactly. Oh, no. See, I'm so used to agreeing with you off the back. Just because Dublin and Croke Park and the way they finished the season last year, you know, sometimes Dublin games can be a bit hard to watch because, you know, they're so efficient and they can win games so early in the match. But not against Monaghan, apparently.
Yeah, and even in the first half, Dublin were entertaining, I thought. Yeah. Like, a lot more so than last year. Like, you could even notice it in the first 10 minutes. Like, Kieran Kilkenny was doing a lot of kicking at the ball, which is something that we've criticised him for in the last few years. That, you know, it's all hand passing and always taking the safe.
And he's a brilliant kicker of the ball, too.
Unreal. So. Like the point he got in the first half was a beauty. Like, but he's always been able to do that. And he kicked that one into Lorcan O'Dell.
Who crossed it
to Costello. Yeah. That was a beauty from...
As a passage of play, that was unreal.
A real beauty. And great to see Kilkenny doing that. Then he kicked another one in on top of Conn.
Yeah.
And you're thinking Dublin were...
On it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Just on that passage, did you see Cormick, then when he scored the goal and he was turning back to get back into position and the umpire accidentally whacked him on the head with the green flag? As soon as that... Yeah, just that passage of play, then the umpire trying to knock him out, I was like, sure, I'm all in again. Like his Saturday Night Live.
It took you back in. I was actually impressed with Costello how well he took it. Like,
yeah, just took the dump and went off.
Some lads will get the belt off the umpire and they'll be like, you. Like, do you know, you'd be bowling like.
Yeah, he did. He handled it with a lot of respect.
Dignity.
Yeah, dignity. That's exactly what it was.
And it was some goal, wasn't it? It was some pass by Odell. You're kind of thinking, like, will he just turn back out here? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of inside forwards when they get the ball there, and he played it like it was a real kind of creative pass, wasn't it? That he imagined that Costello would get there, and great finish by Costello then.
And he played it in for Costello to take it without having to...
Didn't break stride.
Yeah, break a stride. Perfect. That's exactly it, yeah. And it is funny because like in Gaelic football, like when you're caught out in them way positions, like crossing the ball is like a cardinal sin nearly, you know, like it's very, you know, that's soccer. You're saying everyone, sure, it's so easy for the defender, then just at least get a hand to it and knock it away. But like we've seen Shane Walsh do it for Kilmacud Crokes against Glen.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of similar.
We kind of only half seen that.
Yeah, to be fair with the fog, yeah. But this one was even better nearly. The way he floated it and it was like inch perfect. And then the finish by Costello as well just made it all the better. Yes. It was. But as brilliant as Dublin were in them opening a few minutes, it was the Stephen O'Hanlon show really in the end. He was just... the word electric is that's how everyone has been describing.
Everyone said that.
Like literally, that's like, and now I can't think of another word or a better word because it fits so well, because that is what he was like. He was just, I mean, he could do no wrong.
Yeah, he was electric, wasn't he?
Yeah, good man.
He was, in fairness to him. We've seen this before. He made his debut against Dublin 6 years ago in the league, come on to mark Johnny Cooper and come on and scored an unbelievable goal with his very first touch of the ball. And, you know, we've seen it from Stephen O'Hanlon. We've seen him last year. He got an unbelievable goal in the championship. I think it was against Tyrone. Where he just created something out of nothing.
That was before the Ronan O'Toole goal. That was
Ryan O'Toole,
Ryan O'Toole, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, just coming from nothing that this lad can create something. There's very few lads in Gaelic football that have the speed and dynamism and athleticism that he has.
And the bravery. Yeah.
Like the bravery to use it. Yeah. You know? Like he was marking Owen Merchant, who is probably one of the fastest players in Gaelic football. If you were asked who is the fast player, would you say it? You probably would say Owen Merchant.
Yeah. But,
not anymore.
Yeah. Well, no, Stephen O'Hanlon.
they
had a race. And
do you remember the second goal chance he created in the second half?
Yeah, yeah.
And he literally completely burned Owen Merchant, just stood him up a little kind of shimmy and he was gone.
Yeah.
I know Stephen. He was Nace. When Nace won that Hogan Cup, he was like their athletic performance coach. And I think he was kind of against saying strength and conditioning coach because he's so big into the plyometrics and all the hopping and the bounding in training that, you know, makes like, yeah. And
well, that shows.
He obviously had a basketball scholarship in America, yeah, as yeah, well, yeah. Which, you know, he'd obviously be springy enough when he's like that. But the athleticism, I think it's unbelievable, yeah. To watch. And I suppose, obviously, like, some of it is natural, but like, it shows that, I'd say there'd be a lot of lads coming to him for gym programs and that kind of thing, having watched how good he was at the weekend.
Yeah, and I actually did like a column on this recently about what I think the most exciting player is in the modern game of Gaelic football. Like, you think obviously of like David Clifford, Shane McGuigan, Dara Canavan, the players that get scores on the board, and that is exciting and it's great to watch, is, you know, especially some of the points that were scored at the weekend. But what really excites me and would like get you up off your seat is like the line breakers, the players who get, yeah. The ball, who stop the lateral passing and go, "Frigate, I'm going to take the man on," like a Garth McKilness, a Brian, yeah. Hurley, you know, like someone, absolutely. Who grabs the ball from deep and goes, they don't look like they're in a position where they're going to cause a lot of danger, but then not 5 seconds later, the ball's in the back of the net, you know, yeah. And it's all caused from them.
Like, Stephen O'Hanlon, like, all over, yeah. On Saturday night there, like, yeah. He'd get the ball in midfield and he could just stop for a minute and have a look, and the whole crowd, the stadium was like up on their feet, and you could see that something was about to happen here, and then he just did a little shimmy and he's gone,
yeah.
And it was just like, Jesus, when he ran through for that second chance. I know the first one, we didn't even mention that,
the goal itself, yeah,
an
incredible.
Unbelievable finish. But when he went through for the second one, he was just slaloming in through loads of boys, and like a lad out skiing nearly, like,
yeah. I mean, the only criticism of him then is that when you have games like that, and like you've mentioned moments previously, is like you're nearly in danger then of being described as mercurial, and that, why don't we see it more often? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or why don't they play through him more often, or why can't we get like, because I can't wait to see him again, but we might not get that same version again. And listen, obviously everyone has days when they're just on it and days when they're off it or whatever, but like, consistency is definitely something you want to see, yeah. That level at least.
And I suppose as well, like, it's first round of the league, it's a fairly open game,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's in Croke Park, like that suits him down to the ground.
Of course,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's, I suppose last year was the year that he really, you know, he made a name for himself last year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, in previous years he was on and off the panel. It was one year he didn't play with Monaghan. Do you know, last year he made himself part of the team, and he was one of their main men in the forward line, one of their go-to men. And you just, like, seeing what he did at the weekend, you'd be so excited to watch him now, mm-hmm. for the rest of the year coming up, like,
yeah.
That he can kick on from here, because he's just brilliant to watch, like, and gets people up off their feet. And even his interview,
yeah.
Was good. Like, he didn't celebrate the goal or anything.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like, I'll watch it when I get home, see if it was any use.
Yeah. No, I really, really enjoyed him now. And there was a lot of narratives actually around the Monaghan game in the sense that, like, you've got all the retirements, first of all. Conor McManus is going to stay on, but he's not going to be involved probably in a lot of the league games. But Rory Began and his potential move to the NFL,
yeah.
Being in America, he's actually in the panel still, and he's still training with the Monaghan team.
Yeah, I think it's next month, February it starts. Like,
so he's keeping his hand in anyway.
Yeah.
But it just meant then that there was a lot of pressure on Darren McDonnell in nets, and like, because it just looked weird seeing a keeper,
yeah.
In a Monaghan jersey.
Well,
that
it was
wasn't
the first time in 124 games. First time since 2013.
That is insane.
That he has like. Like, you'd kind of think of Darren McDonnell, wouldn't you? And you,
yeah.
See he's a good goal. Like, he was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he made a good save. Who was it? The goal chance. It wasn't Odell, was it? But, like, you know, he made himself big. And
yeah.
So he showed, like, his actual goalkeeping
Even
abilities.
Even the catch he made,
yeah.
As well. Do you remember that? He got, mm-hmm. Some of the kickouts way lovely. He was so calm on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Even too calm at one stage.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
He was so calm.
Yeah, and he got the foul in the end.
He,
yeah.
Was lucky.
He was a bit lucky.
In a bit, like. But, like, you think of him, like, he's such a good goalie. He's probably similar age to Began, and he hasn't got to play for Monaghan, maybe other than the McKenna Cup game,
yeah.
Here or there. Like, isn't that mad?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's testament to Began, first of
it
all,
is,
but like it would have been very warming, I think, for Monaghan fans to see just how good he was, and he kicked a 45 as well, which was obviously,
yeah.
Or was it a free?
Yeah, 45.
Yeah, 45, and he stroked it over the bar lovely, and like you say, his kickouts were excellent. So I think it was a lot of Monaghan fans were maybe, oh, okay, you,
yeah.
Know, because it's such a big hole to fill.
Oh, huge, like, because we all talk about how important goalies are now. Like, we'll talk about Niall Morgan later, how,
mm-hmm.
Good he was. Himself and Began are just on a different level.
Yeah,
that they're nearly their team's most important players.
Yeah.
But your man was very good, and he's a Clontibret clubmate of Vinnie Corey. So Vinnie, obviously as a defender, like, he would have played in front of McDonald for a lot. Like, so he knows how good he is and how good he can be. So that was like, he knows him. I thought Vinnie Corey's interview was very funny on TG Cow. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Where he's kind of, I think he said it three times. He said, "Well, listen, we hope he comes to his senses and comes back to us."
Yeah, he said it in RTE, and then he said it someone else. Maybe he was off the ball or something.
Off the ball and TG Cahill.
Yeah, he was just loving it. Like, he came up with it. He obviously got a little giggle at home when he said it, and then he's like, "That'll be my lane.
Yeah,
my throwaway lane to use."
It was a brilliant interview. He was real relaxed. Like, even talking about McManus, he was like, "There's more sand at the bottom of that clock than there is at the top."
Yeah. He's unreal. And what I really like about him too, even with like interviews like that and stuff, is that, and maybe it's because he doesn't have the same, what's the word, like, you know, when you like
profile,
yeah, as a Mickey Hart or a Jim McGuinness, and you know, where the manager's nearly as big as the team in terms of just their name.
Yeah.
But he goes under the radar and he's doing such an unbelievable job.
Unreal, yeah.
You know, like, look how they were last year. Now people are trying to see if it's like, was that just a fluke, a one-off? Did he squeeze the last like little bit of life out of an aging team? But they've got off to a brilliant start. And then most importantly, probably, given all the retirements, blooded young players.
Yeah.
And your young fella, is it Kieran McNulty?
Kieran McNulty did unreal for 1-1. He got the winning point, and the goal he got was lovely.
It was. And he took it so well, cut across the defender, and it was just like...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, he was doing that thing where you're either going to trip me up or you're going to leave me and I'm going to go for goal.
It was the opposite to what Stephen O'Brien did, really.
Yes, exactly.
In that he made himself an angle for the finish and finished it lovely.
Yeah, he did brilliantly. And then that break at the end, of all the people in the Dublin team to give the ball away.
I know.
Brian Fenton. That was weird to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It's just like, yeah, and he just give it to them.
You wouldn't expect it, yeah, because you just were sure once... the Monaghan fella, I think it was Lennon, he missed the ball down at the corner, and you're thinking, oh no, like, this is going to be the end now,
because
Dublin have the ball, the clock is almost up, Fenton has the ball, so that was a big surprise. But he wasn't the only young fella who impressed for Monaghan. Like, your man Hamill was very good wing forward. He showed great pace, he won the penalty as well. Killian Neville, back fullback. I know he's not a young lad, but he was back there one of the first times we've seen him there. He's more of a midfielder, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he was back in Conor Callaghan and did very well. He's real aggressive, and do you know, you get nothing easy off him.
No, absolutely not. What do you think of Conor Callaghan in like recent games or something? Like, Dublin can't seem to bring the best out of him anymore. I don't know if that's maybe being harsh.
Yeah, maybe. I suppose it's like you wouldn't. You definitely wouldn't write him off. Like,
no,
do you know, like,
you know what he can do.
You know, yeah, but he didn't have the best year last year, and they're maybe not getting the best out of him. Sorry, it wasn't Lennon that, I think it was Woods that missed that ball at the end when it went out over the sideline. Conn, in fairness, he still won a few frees, but yeah, we haven't seen him kind of create the goals.
Yeah.
You know, that you're used to with him.
Because
like,
it was the conversation was, who's better, David Clifford or Conor Callaghan?
Yeah.
And you could make a really serious case for either of them. Do you know, it was pretty much down the middle. But no one's really having that conversation anymore, do you know? And I'm just wondering, is it Dublin's fault? You know, is it
Conn
coming back from that injury? Like, he was out for a good while before last season, you know. But like, I have no doubt he'll find form again. Speaking of young players, Tyrone against Roscommon, they had 6 debutants. I'll not lie, I was like a little bit nervous. You know, there's something a bit nerving when you're going up against a team like Roscommon who take the league very seriously, and They were brilliant last year in it as well. And you're seeing the forward line and you're sort of thinking, God, you know, none of these boys have actually had experience at this level before. But it was the best thing for it because Tyrone were just desperately needed fresh faces, and the likes of Niall Devlin and Ben Cullen and Shawnee O'Donnell, they were all fantastic. Tyrone, I thought, were excellent in the first half. All of the forwards bar Peter Hart scored in the first half.
Against the Breeze?
With the Breeze in the first half. And then and that's the thing with the Breeze, like the players who were just smart enough to use it as well. So Roscommon really sat back knowing, you know, that they're going to be on like a bit of an onslaught.
Yeah.
Try to really protect the D and sort of be condensed. But like Paddy Hamsey hit a wonder point, I'd say, the right. He loves that.
He did.
Knowing that the wind's on his back. And Michael McKernan, his Killeland teammate, was obviously like, well, I can do that too. And, you know, and then he kicks to himself. And, you know, sort of nearly just beating the blanket defence by shooting from distance.
Yeah.
And then the variety of scores as well, because, you know, we'd said it umpteenth amount of times last year that Tyrone weren't getting enough from their half-forwards and maybe even the half-backs and stuff, but it was seven different scores in the first half, a lot of them all from the debutants. Dara Canavan was on fire, and I was really happy to see to Michael McKernan at number six, because I think that's a position that we've been a bit, we don't know how to fill, you know, in recent years. I think Michael O'Neill was holding it when we won the All-Ireland in 2021, but he's been suffering with a lot of injuries since then, and then coming in and out. They
who
played
was
him
there
at
last
11.
Year? Was Rory Brennan? No.
Well, I think Hamsey was in it for some of the games. Yeah. Ronan McNamee was playing in some of the games, but by the end of it, he was definitely
to replace him as well.
Yeah,
McNamee.
That's it exactly. Yeah. And then you got players like Niall Sludden who are missing as well. But PD Hart at number 11, I thought they got the best out of him there, where he got really involved with the game. I like Michael McKernan at six because I actually think he's one of our better ball players. He's very fast. He's very direct. Even late on in the game, and he's bulked out so much now. You know, he wasn't like when he broke onto the Tyrone team, he was this speedy cornerback who could really break forward from the wings. But now, you know, he's bursting through people and he's a real leader in the team. So there's a lot of positives from the Tyrone point of view. Obviously, Roscommon were missing players, the St. Bridget's lads.
Enda Smith,
yeah. But like Tyrone had absentees that are still to come back, like Kieran McGeary, Conor Myler, Darren McCurry, Cahill McSheehan. Matty Donnelly will probably miss the league. Hopefully be back sort of for the championship. So it was a big win. In the second half, a little bit of controversy when Con Kilpatrick was sent off. Did you see it?
I did, yeah. I did. It was a harsh red card, definitely.
Yeah. I think so. I don't know. It is them things to be fair in real time when you're watching them. Like, and the benefit of a replay, it's as clear as day that it's not a red card. I think, you know, he's just bigger, you know?
He's your man, that he ran into was a lot smaller than him. Yeah. He just ran into him, probably a bit clumsy. You'd say a yellow card.
But, you know, if you see that in the corner of your eye, maybe. Yeah.
You might think it's a thump.
And the impact of the fall and whatever, like you could sort of see.
Yeah. Well, like some people were saying that there was some like afters and that he could have hit someone. But like the TG car cameras actually showed a good bit of that.
Yeah.
And it was more like, if that was what it was just a push, like,
and just shoving.
And maybe like nothing out of the ordinary, like.
Yeah.
And he was raging as well. Like.
Yeah, he was. So, good. Well, Fergal Logan says they're going to appeal it, so he seems confident. Like
he does. Yeah. So maybe there wasn't too much in it, but I thought your man Brian Kennedy was unbelievable in his absence. Isn't he some powerhouse?
He's actually been appointed vice captain. So Peter Hart's now been made captain, and Brian Kennedy's been made vice captain for whatever reason, you know, to her and whatever. Probably just this whole freshness idea. You know, we're going to bring in loads of new players. Obviously, Paddy Hamsey was still playing and he was brilliant. But you could see why they would give that responsibility to Kennedy, because when Colin Kilpatrick left the pitch and he was sort of, I guess, isolated, I thought he really stood up. He was
He's
just
like your old style midfielder, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a bull. He's so strong. Like.
Yeah. Big guy, loves to fetch it and then just break through people, you know.
Yeah, but, like he but can he's still just smart run, with it. He can run through lads as if they're not really there. Like.
Yeah, no, I thought he was unreal. And then obviously the standout performance was a man of the match was Dara Canavan. If he stays fit, then Tyrone will sort of always have a chance in beating teams, you know, because he's that good now.
Yeah, he was class there yesterday, just kicking points. There was one point, do you remember the one Hamsey just kind of fist passed it to him? Mm-hmm. And it was like, there was nothing on, like, and Hamsey wasn't even trying to create a chance. It was just kind of like, here's the ball, like, and like Canavan, in the blink of an eye, just shoots it over the bar. they were against the breeze in the second half. Yeah. And you know, there was two worse comments, and he was so quick to kick it. Like, he's so quick to shoot, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And just ball the foot is just, is like lightning.
Shoots on sight. Like, and when he's in that kind of form, just get the ball to him. Like, like, we impressed with Shawny O'Donnell. Is very lively looking player. Like, and all them forwards, your man Daly got 3 points.
Yeah, from play. And Niall Devlin, he was captain. You know, this is that under 20 team that won the All-Ireland a couple of years ago. And they'd reached an All-Ireland final, a lot of these boys, in the minors in 2021. So, you know, like, a lot that you can't put too much emphasis on the experiences that that gives you and how well that prepares you for senior football.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been training with these lads now for a couple of years, who are, most of them had won an All-Ireland themselves at senior level. So transitionally, like, it probably actually should have happened a bit sooner, but they're there, and it's good to see. Look, it was only one game, and they'll be up against a much bigger test next week against Derry, but the mood's definitely a little bit better.
Yeah, that would be a good one, won't it? Tyrone and Derry with the Mickey Hart thing, just a bit of crack.
It'd be interesting to see how he sets up against Tyrone, because, like, who knows Tyrone better than Mickey Hart?
Yeah.
I thought that was did you notice as well, like, just how much more, what's the word, like, established Dara Canavan looked?
Yeah, he
amongst
looked,
all the younger fellas and stuff as well. Yeah. You know, like, he was, I wouldn't even go as far as saying leader, because he is still just, I think he's only 23.
He is the leader now. Like, on a day like yesterday.
He's the stand up and be counted guy.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not too sure, like, he'll be grabbing lads and, you know, or maybe he is, you know.
I wouldn't say he's that type, but, like, he's looking around at the lads and sees their, what, like, 19, 20?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I've been here a few years now. Like, this is, like, I can show these lads what to do, like, do you know?
Yeah.
And, he's brilliant to watch, isn't he? Even when he kicked one of the points, like, and you could see the Roscommon cornerback, I think it was Dave Murray, kind of went into him, and Canavan just kind of laughing at him.
Yeah.
He's always laughing, like, and smiling. Just and it's not nastiness either. Do you know, like,
kicking beautiful points and then just laughing.
Having
about
a laugh.
Like, wasn't it? We had Stevie O'Neill on the show. Remember, he compared them to Ronaldinho.
You know,
that's a great one, isn't it? Like, you know, just do a bit of magic and then be delighted with yourself. Why not? It is good to see. And then lastly, just in terms of televised games anyway, in Division 1, Mayo v Galway, Connacht v Connacht, you know, two big rivals. You're expecting something big, especially because the other games were also entertaining, particularly those on Saturday night. But it probably didn't live up to it now.
I didn't know. It was in Pearce Stadium, and should we know what it's like in Salt Hill of a January Sunday?
Yeah.
And the wind is blowing, and it's probably really hard to play football. But in fairness to Mayo, they were against the breeze in the first half, and apparently Galway had won the toss.
Mm-hmm.
So they opted to go with the wind, and Mayo just brought all the, like, front foot dynamism and ambition and purpose. And, you know, they were attacking Everton with purpose from the start. I suppose Owen McLaughlin's early goal just kind of summed it up.
Is that not the most Owen McLaughlin goal ever, too?
Well, usually he misses them. Not to be harsh on him, like, but he doesn't, like, he creates so many chances, like, because he's so fast and strong.
And direct.
He's always in the position, and sometimes he doesn't take them. He took it lovely.
But he's always full pelt when he's taking them, to be fair. It must be so hard. Like,
he's 100 miles an hour, But, like, it kind of summed it up, didn't it? That he ran in behind, and the Galway lads were a bit just asleep.
Yeah.
And they weren't attacking it, like, and they had the wind in their home stadium, and they had a bad year last year, and they were just kind of,
they just showed, like, a lack of I don't know, like, adventure or something, like,
just a lack of determination, even.
Yeah. They were very passive and slow.
Passive. Yeah, that's it.
And with the wind on their backs, I just thought, you know, like, well, and they opted to go that way, hopefully, probably the idea being, you know, let's get the scoreboard ticking early, and then, you know,
Comer is huge for them, isn't he?
He obviously is. Like, he obviously is. And you know what? I would say, in fairness, in terms of the players that they're missing, I would say they're, if you think of the three leaders in the team, you know, like a Sean Kelly and like a Damien Comer, even
Silk,
and
Matthew, Conroy came on.
And Tierney last year was he came on, you know. Yeah. I know. But like, I could go through pretty much every team that played at the weekend and name you a list of huge players that were missing.
Sure, so, Monaghan were missing about 10 lads.
Exactly, You know, Monaghan, Roscommon, Tyrone, No, not Derry. They hit everyone. Kerry, obviously, the Cliffords. Do you know, like,
it's the way a team plays, though. Yeah. Like, and it shouldn't really matter who's there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they should all be able to sort of fit in and do the task at hand. And
yeah.
I don't know. It just looks a little bit outdated, really laborious and slow and lateral. And
yeah.
I don't know. They played Shane Walsh at 11, and I think that was probably because, given the weather, they weren't going to be kicking it in a lot. And then without Comer and stuff, they maybe wanted him.
He could kick
as involved.
From scores, yeah, from distance as well. But yeah, he didn't really get into it too much.
No, I mean, you know, he looked like he could be a bit lost at times. But I think a lot of it's just credit to Mayo, really. They are always adventurous. They're always brilliant to watch, to be fair to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I was curious to see, was McStay going to stick with Aidan O'Shea, the whole up front thing, corner forward? Now, he did come deep a lot. But that was probably a game because against the wind, they weren't going to be kicking it in loads anyway. And I thought he played well. They started with Tommy Conroy in full forward.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, there's a man that's really going to want to be a starter again this year.
Yeah, because he's fully back now. Like, yeah. You know, last year was his first year back.
And he had that whole...
Crucius.
Yeah, but he came off the bench and he would get a goal every now and again. And then it became that, oh, I will save him for the last hand. Yeah. It was nearly, you know...
It's his time now, like.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And so, he was good yesterday.
It was, yeah. Yeah, and Ryan O'Donoghue was always involved. Did you see
Sam,
black card, Ryan?
Black card, yeah.
Just a wee kick out.
Yeah.
He loves it, so he does.
They were very good, though, weren't they? I thought Sam Callan, he was centre-back, and he's great to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching him for Balna against Cara Finn, and he was brilliant that day.
Mm-hmm.
And same again, he's so much pace and go forward every time he gets the ball.
Yeah.
And I was delighted to see Fergal Boland back. Because remember, we were interviewing him when Turin were in the All-Ireland hurling final, intermediate. They lost that to Moen Lean last year. But he'd been dropped off the panel. And, you know, he's a lad with a great attitude. Like, and he said, I wouldn't be the sort of fella to start arguing or anything or to cause any conflict. He, Kevin McStay, gives you one or two reasons why you're gone or let go, and basically it's up to you then. It's up to me now if I want to force my way back onto the panel. It's as simple as that. You just have to come back a better player. Like, didn't he take it very well? Like,
yeah.
And apparently they had it on the radio yesterday that he was going down to Australia and that was his plan for the year. And, you know, going travelling. But Max Day called him into the panel, and you know, it's a big move for him to say, I'm going to stay. Like,
yeah, he's seen the opportunity, and he's like, well, then. Because you always hear that role reversal.
He loves his football, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
And then he was brilliant. I was delighted for him, he was brilliant, and I think he should have got man of the match. Like, I know they gave it to Paddy Durkin, but I thought Boland deserved it.
Yeah. And he was fantastic, and it was really good to see. That's all we have time for in terms of part one. We're going to come back with our new segment, The Players' Problems, where we hear from you, the listeners, and we'll get stuck into some Division 2 games as well.
Okay, so we're back here with our Players' Problems section, which is a new one where we're asking you, our audience, to send us in whatever you want us to talk about. We'll talk about anything goes, as Lee said to me yesterday. It's open on our chat box there on Instagram. We'll do it every Sunday from now on. But we got some crackers in today, Lee.
Good, I can't wait.
We really have. So we'll get through them fairly snappy. Someone is asking us, the four-step rule, has it been done away with?
Yeah.
Do you think? Was it ever?
Maybe to be, like, has it ever been? Four-step rule, I was always taught that it was a four-second rule. Do you know? Because some people take more steps and less steps, you know, because if it was a four-step rule, you could stand still with the ball, technically speaking.
Yeah.
Do you know?
But you can't.
You can't. Of course you can't. No, because it's supposed to be 4 seconds. Yeah. And then, I don't know, it's down to how fast or slow a referee.
Yeah, the steps one is so hard to call.
It's so hard to call.
Because if a lad's getting tackled, you don't. It's only a lad only gets caught if he's dilly-dallying.
Yeah.
And he'd go nowhere. And he looks like he's
I'd be a fan of referees when there's a goal chance on. Just giving them the benefit of the doubt. 4.5 seconds, you know, like, you could nearly make a point that Paddy McBrady was like teetering towards being like slightly long on the, you know, when he took that extra dummy and went in. But
I thought McBrady took, I counted this, he took 9 steps.
Yeah, but you wouldn't even notice.
Oh yeah, well, within 4 seconds maybe.
Yeah, you won't notice it because he's going for a goal.
Yeah.
But you remember you probably don't remember this, Larry Corbett in 2010 All-Ireland hurling final. He took about 8 steps, but nobody mentions it because he's going for a goal, like, and he means business.
Everyone has at least one
if
in their head.
Business, you're all right.
Yeah, like, I remember one as well, Sean Kavanagh against Dublin in 2008. I think it was the quarter final. It was a brilliant goal, but he maybe took 6, 7 roughly, you know, steps. So I think it depends on the side at what end of the pitch you are. Like, they can be very harsh on defenders when you're coming out of, especially if the play is slow and you're holding on to it and the crowd are a bit upset and whatever, and you've carried that ball just a little bit too long.
Yeah.
And then the referee's more likely to blow it. So I would put it down. It's just another thing that's up for interpretation, isn't it?
Having an old style manager who just wants hits and not worried about football.
Embrace it, lad. Just go and hit people. Get stuck in, like, you know, give the manager what he wants and you'll definitely be playing. I've definitely had managers like that before. They think it's like, it's as good as a goal when you give a man a big dig. Not that I've ever done that. I mean, score a goal or give a big dig. I'd be a smaller fellow on the pitch, so I'd be probably the one at the other end of those digs. So I don't want to play against this.
You're just
this
making yourself out now as a good boy here.
No, I am. I'm as good as gold, really. Hurling, surely. That's you must be talking about hurling. That's a hurling thing.
I don't know. Like, you kind of want a mix. You don't want a lad who's too modern. You don't want a lad who's too stuck in the past either.
No, you don't want a man who's like counting your calories for you, and then you also don't want to get
running laps. Like, I don't mind lad breaking a hurl off a table, like.
No. Does it get you going? Like,
sometimes.
Yeah. If they do it too much, then it loses all effect.
Yeah. I can't make training. Should I call or text my manager? Now, I like this one.
Yeah. Well, go on.
That's a good question, like.
Would you call or text?
I think I would call. I think you should call. Because I think like, if you're committed, like, and you have a reason not to make training, just tell your manager the reason. I think they always appreciate it more if you ring them. And I think you feel better as well if you ring them.
You can really get into your own head when you text them. And then you're like, he's annoyed.
Will I call this lad now or will I text him?
Yeah, and he could be at work or whatever and you've texted him and maybe been a couple of hours since he's replied and now you've got the dread sort of thing. I wouldn't know. I just always go to training. I know you're always calling your manager.
Yeah.
Trying to get out of it. But calling just seems like, it's just more of a sign of respect to you, isn't it? But then as opposed to you're thinking, if six boys don't go to training, that manager's got six phone calls. And if you're the sixth man that's rang him.
Like, if you ring him like and he doesn't answer, like, you've rang him.
That's true, yeah.
Then you can send your text.
You should just ring and then hang up after 2 seconds and he'll see the missed call.
Yeah, but if he's on his phone, he'll be like, he'll see you. Like.
I can't get through to you, mate. I'm trying to desperately tell you.
I think you should call because if you're not in hide, you just say it and you might even have a bit of crack with him on the phone then.
Yeah. I know. I'd be on your side. I would go with the call.
Yeah. Opinions on Roscommon.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably a better one for you because I've always been, just from talking to you over the years, I think you're like a secret Roscommon fan and Monaghan fan.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got too much to shout about with Tipperary and football, but hopefully that'll change.
Yeah.
But you love Roscommon, you love Monaghan, so go on.
Yeah, not in recent times with Tipperary. Like, we won the Munster there in 2020, like, and don't then, you forget.
I won't, I was really enjoyable and I loved that.
Roscommon, I think they'll be good, like, when they get the Bridget Spies back. I was so impressed with them in the All-Ireland, and Ben O'Carroll and Enda Smith back. They'll be a different team. And I like Davy Burke.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had a good league last year. I think they were third. And then they kind of were unlucky in the championship. Lost that game to Cork.
They beat Mayo then straight after the league. Yeah. And things were really looking good.
It just kind of didn't work out for them in the end. But I know in previous years when they've done bad in the league, they've done good in the championship.
True.
So I'm not saying they're going to do bad in the league, but I still would fancy them to have a big year despite losing to Tyrone yesterday. So.
Yeah, I think avoiding relegation is massive for Roscommon. Yeah. Staying in Division 1, because look how much easier transition periods are when you stay in Division 1. Like, Monaghan's probably the best example of that. They've never dipped, really, despite such a turnover in players in recent times.
Yeah.
So if they can stay in Division 1 and then have a good whack at the championship, they're more than capable of doing it. What was the other team, Roscommon and who?
No, just Roscommon.
Oh, was it just
someone said, didn't get my jersey I wore all year because I was suspended for the final. Everyone else got theirs. That's like, a blow, isn't it?
That is a blow. Is this county?
I don't know. This is anonymous, man.
Yeah, that's true. Fair. Come on. Fair. But like, do you get a jersey when you play club?
I don't know.
Maybe it's a big club. Yeah, a rich club that can just hand out jerseys like that. That sounds like a call of manager situation.
That man deserves
like,
a jersey.
Well, some, well, that jersey's sitting somewhere.
Mm.
You know, so who's got it?
I think that's usually a college thing, isn't it? When you get the college jersey at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah, yeah, maybe. It could be a college thing. But my point being is that like, it's going to be a solo jersey lying in a bag somewhere. Or coaching staff have maybe nicked it. But
like he could have took one for the team getting suspended. Like,
yeah, we don't know the manner in which he's been suspended.
Give
give
him his jersey.
And has this been because he's been punished?
I doubt it.
Do you know, like, you're not getting a jersey because you're suspended for the final?
Give him his jersey.
Yeah, missing the final is punishment enough.
What will Meath, this is the last one, what will Meath have to do to overcome Armagh? That's obviously next week.
Get all their players back from Sigerson, according to Colm O'Rourke.
Yeah, he's not, he doesn't like that, does he?
No, every league now, I think, say like two leagues.
Yeah.
He's just, it's all he wants to talk about is Sigerson.
Yeah.
Meath are a young team, in fairness. Like, yeah. They've got a fair representation there, but, I mean, God, most teams do. Do you know, I don't think it's too...
Your man Owen Frain, he got four from play at the weekend against Fermanagh. He plays with Manute.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Shane Walsh is still in DCU and Matthew Costello. So they're three of their main forwards. So he's more annoyed.
But still, drew against Fermanagh. Wasn't it? They drew? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's not... Do you know, if me, they're looking promotion.
Yeah.
Do you know, they would have seen... Like, at home, like, you would have been seeing that as a game that you're really going to have to attack. And a draw is not a good... It's not a good start to it. And Armagh weren't brilliant against Louth now, in fairness.
No.
But they still managed to get over the line. And the Culliana fellas are coming back into the squad this week, so they'll be stronger again. I don't know. They were very poor in the league last year, too.
Mead, yeah. It was funny, just last thing on that, is Colm O'Rourke, when he was giving out about Sigerson, he was in the Sunday Independent earlier in the year, and he was like, he was talking about Shane Walsh. He pulled his hamstring. He got like man of the match against Cork in the first or second round of the league last year.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And he pulled his hamstring the Tuesday or the Wednesday after in the Sigerson Cup match. And Colm O'Rourke was like, I still shake at the thought of that injury. Like,
to be fair, yeah. And then it did, it all sort of unraveled
shake
in the league.
Rage, like, yeah. I thought it was.
That man hates. Yeah, university.
He's funny, like, in fairness to him.
For a fellow who's an educator.
I know, yeah. That's all our players' problems. Looking forward to more of these.
Yeah, we are. We're maybe going to go into a little bit more specific on our question this week on Sunday. So keep an eye out for that on our Instagram. You feel free to ask us anything. We won't solve any of your problems, but you know, you can hear us.
Some.
You know, misery loves company, and we'll give off with you, probably, maybe.
Yeah.
In terms of Division 2 games, we sort of briefly mentioned Donegal. Beating Cork, it's a big win for Jim McGuinness. After the match, he talked about playing. Well, to contextualize, I think the big fear about Jim McGuinness coming back is that he's been credited with like ruining Gaelic football and bringing players back. And even though he hasn't been involved in 10 years, people still blame him for that. So he's came back now, and he's all about sort of, you know, like what we were talking about Kerry doing, that sort of high press and turning the ball over late or from the source. And attacking with pace and getting the ball up early. And he even mentioned about, like, you know, we've got a lot of fans travelling and you want to entertain them.
Yeah.
Like, these are things that he's saying. So hopefully, given that he's such a high-profile player or manager, that if he starts doing this to the team, then the rest of the country will copy that.
Yeah.
And then Gaelic football will be in a healthier place.
Yeah, that was what they did yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, even against the wind in the second half, they pushed up on Cork and... were like hounding everyone down and hunting in packs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, savaging the Cork boys. I remember even the very straight after the throw-in, they won a free and kicked it forward straight away, like Ryan McHugh, I think. I remember last year they played Armagh and Jace McGee won a free at the throw-in and he kicked it backwards. Like.
Yeah.
Do you know, and Jim McGuinness actually said that. He was on with Brendan Devaney on his podcast up in Donegal and he said, one of the things with Donegal is that when the ball was won, it went lateral. That was what Jim McGuinness said. And like we want to be aggressive, get up the field and ask questions, teams, which is positive that he will do that. They probably did that a bit in his first tenure as well.
No, they
probably
did. Especially in 2014 when they reached the All-Ireland final last year. They were very, and how they beat Dublin with that sort of, people call it the ambush in the semi-final stages. No, I thought so. And then like I mentioned about Paddy Hamsey and Michael McKiernan beating the blanket defence by taking shots from distance.
Yeah.
You know, before you would have called that pot shots and, you know, don't be risking that sort of thing. But when you have players with the capability of doing that, and he was definitely back in Donegal, Kieran Thompson's just, like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Donegal have a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly. And they were doing it
Langdon
a fair bit.
Your man, Oisin Gallen.
Yeah, and when McBrady comes out, on the loop. Yeah. You know, like sometimes he can come right out to the D.
Jace McGee.
A serious boot on him. Like, so that's definitely one. We mentioned briefly there, Armagh just getting over the line against Louth. Yeah. Louth was very impressive in that match, but Sam Mulroy missed a 45 just at the death to equalise. So Armagh maybe got away with one there. Mm. Kildare and Cavan, this just throw back straight away. Cavan 16 points to 12. And you just sort of think of Kildare last year in the league and my eyes just rolled back up into my head. Do you remember how frustrating they were?
They had a good championship, like, to beat Roscommon, like.
I know. And I suppose maybe that's what Kildare fans will be hoping for. We talked briefly there about Meath and Fermanagh. It was a draw. It was a great result for Fermanagh. You know, people have been writing Fermanagh off for years, but they've just been, you know, going about their business, getting promoted, getting slightly better sort of every season under Kieran Donnelly. And who knows, like, they could be well in contention for promotion this year. They'll certainly believe that they are.
Yeah.
Division 3, Clare beat Sligo.
That was a mad game.
Just by a point,
actually. That was a mad game. There was Clare missed a penalty in injury time, and then Sligo were down to 13 men, and Emmett McMahon won a late free and slotted it to win it. So it was a great win for them.
That is a great win.
They're missing loads, actually, since last year. Colm Collins as well, Owen Cleary, Jamie Malone, loads of key men, so
It's definitely a good win. Westmeath beat Offaly, and Down beat Wicklow. Down maybe the favourites in that division to get up, especially after having another year under Conor Laverty, although Antrim got a good win too over Limerick, and they got the semi-final of the Tailteann Cup and made a good account of themselves last year as well. So, you know, it's all to play for. It's very competitive in them divisions. Division 4, do you want to take it, your beloved Tipperary?
Disappointing for Tipperary. They lost to Carlo, conceded 3 goals, which is obviously disappointing. Laois had a good win. Their goalie, Killian Roach, who's from Clare, transferred to Laois. He scored 5 points, 3 from play.
Fair play to him.
which is obviously unreal. Wexford beat London and by 4 points, and Leitrim hammered Waterford. Waterford seemed to be at a really low ebb in football.
Yeah, Waterford are definitely struggling, and Leitrim are going to be going through. I think it's imperative that they get promoted this year, because just of what happened last year, you know, in terms of the game against New York and Andy Moore, and I guess it's his 3rd year in charge, maybe.
Yeah, I'd say so at this stage.
You know, so if he's going to get a tune out of them, it'll be this year, but no better start than that to do so. So that's all we have time for today. Be sure to tune in next week, and we'll catch you then.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight,
and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.